Joining us now on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line, we have crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Brad, it seems the usual suspects, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, teaming up for some cyber attack activities. And of course, it's just in time for the election and probably targeting other areas too, right?
There is no doubt. I mean, teaming up cyber criminals with the countries you mentioned and probably others, I guess from their vantage point, makes complete sense. You use, if you're the country, you use the cyber criminals to basically do your bidding. I'm going to guess you give them intelligence about where to hack, maybe how to hack into our government agencies, corporations, individuals, politicians, hospitals, you name it. Because these countries want certain information, or they want to sway the public's thinking by just dumping in, you know, tons of disinformation about an individual or a particular topic. And even China, who apparently even goes down to like the local level of trying to influence like the election or re-election of like U.S. House of Representatives of people that maybe are, that are currently in office that are opposed to China and many pro-China policies. So it's a huge problem that, in my view, is probably just going to continue to grow.
Well, Brad, on another note, just a little while ago, we saw the result of a special commission investigating that attempted assassination of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, over the summer. And they recommend basically a complete overhaul of the Secret Service. This is the Secret Service released a new behavioral threat assessment earlier this week. Do we need to rethink how this entire thing goes? I mean, these two things taken in concert with each other look at, you know, like we almost don't know what we're doing here.
So I think you, Brian, you need to separate this new threat assessment, which is, you know, basically put out by their threat assessment. It's called the National Threat Assessment Center, which is, you know, sort of the academics and or profiling type people that keep track of, I think, a lot of the folks the Secret Service need to keep track of because of threats they've made to some of their protectees, primarily the president, vice president, and other people. But what they're proposing is that you need, there needs to be more sort of threat assessment done at a local level. So separate that from the report, which obviously talks about huge lapses in the Secret Service, which, if you want my opinion, working with the Secret Service for years is driven by overworking people and not having enough people. Yeah, I mean, you combine those two things and you're going to have lapses. And we've unfortunately seen them. So we'll see if that gets resolved. You know, there is merit in the local jurisdictions, the city, county, where you two are, if they had a threat assessment unit that sort of keeps track of people that may be vulnerable and or making comments about committing some sort of targeted mass violence. It's a bit of a pie in the sky, in my view, from a financial and priority standpoint. I just don't see a lot of jurisdictions jumping on this because, A, they just can't because of money and manpower. But it is a good idea.
You know, on that panel report that came out from the special commission, they said there's a troubling lack of critical thinking before, during, and after the assassination attempt. Just that statement and, you know, not being able to look at exactly what follows it or comes after it. But would you agree with that statement based on everything we know from Butler?
Well, let me break that down a different way. I can understand why they could come to that conclusion, but what is the reason for that conclusion? In other words, and we don't know this, of course, but what did the advance team say about Butler, Pennsylvania? Because they would have addressed the roof where the shooter was. Did they say there should have been a sniper on that roof? My guess is the answer is yes, without knowing that. So it's what the advance team comes up with, and then what the actual team is able to do, based on manpower, based on time, based on a number of things. Did they follow through or were able to implement what the advance team recommended they do on the day that the President Trump was supposed to speak or did speak on, what was it, July 13th. So you have to get a look at, is this a manpower issue versus the ability to actually carry out a thorough protection of somebody, you know, based on their location?
Brad, do you think somewhere along the way it's possible that Secret Service just became complacent? I mean, thank God we hadn't had an assassination attempt for a long while, as far as I can remember, before the attempt on Donald Trump's life. Thank goodness for that, of course. But do you think, I mean, what kind of drilling goes in? How do you stay prepared when you go so long without a real-world event?
Well, it can become difficult, but I think if you look at it from the vantage point that, you know, they really overwork in an election year like this, they really overwork the agents and support employees that they have just to keep up with the number of events and the number of advances. I mean, it is a, you know, unbelievable drain on people. And so do they need a lot more people based on what's expected of them? I think the answer is yes. I'm not defending what did or didn't happen. I'm just only suggesting there's a reality here. You know, things like the breakdown in communication the day of the shooting on July 13th, where the local police basically, you know, have this guy in their sights. They try to relay that to the Secret Service. Apparently there was radio issues or ability to get it quickly to somebody to give the green light to the sniper to shoot him. You know, that's a breakdown because, in my view, that wasn't tested thoroughly before this event started. Now, does that go to lack of manpower and coordination on the actual day? Could well be.
Well, Brad, thank you for the time. Always appreciate it. Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst, joining us live this morning.